what could be one of the biggest games for Iowa football in the history of the team. Iowa plays Penn State on Saturday. Everyone's excited for it. Drake, myself, and Kevin are going to preview it. And I think everyone can feel this moment. This is the time where you have a day. Let's go.
Wash of Walk-Ons fans, episode 255 of the podcast. And I've got a couple apologies to get out of the way before we start this thing off. First, I would like to apologize that we do not have Douche McSquirrely on the podcast this afternoon. I guess he's too busy being inactive and a non-factor for a football team called the Ravens to talk about his alma mater. That's his loss, not ours. He wasn't going to give us any good content anyways. Secondly, I'd like to apologize that my camera has not been on. I'm in the kitchen cooking lunch. I don't have a proper podcasting studio at the moment in between moves from Arizona to Nashville, and I'm at a little bit of a stopover place now where I don't have my own office space. So you won't be seeing my smiling face and luscious mullet until I get to Nashville somewhere around December-ish. My apologies, boys and girls, but you're not here to look at me. You're here for the stupidity that we bring and some of the Iowa insight that you guys value. So today it's me and Kluver, then it's Kluver and Kevin, because Kevin and I just simply aren't on the same time schedule, and that's okay. So here we go. Kluver, what do you got?
Hey, split episode, man. Split episode, we get it done. And, you know, it's what I do. And
this is your gig now. This is like your full-time deal.
Yeah. Speaking of
podcasting it was football player turned podcaster turned fitness coach.
Yeah. 250 flags sitting on my front porch about an hour ago as I hauled them in. The Kluver residence is turning into a sweatshop. And
good did it feel to have them in your possession though?
I have the golden ticket, dude. I have the golden ticket.
Yeah, you really do.
250 golden tickets. Many of you may be listening for the first time because you saw the flag on TV. Again, I can't shout out Jason Mason enough, one of the walk-on army. We're going to get to the walk-on army in a second. He flew the flag. It went berserko, nutso, psycho, Friday night, and my entire weekend was basically just responding to people, hey, we don't have any more flags, but we've got more coming in soon, and luckily they're in 4 days later. And we're going to sell out of these as well. So I'm going to go over a few things real quick, bookkeeping style, and I'm going to try and keep it fast because I know that a lot of you don't care so much about it. We've been talking a lot about the Patreon, and I know that shit is annoying, and I know that some of you are sitting there like, quit talking, quit selling the Patreon, I'm not signing up, I'm not paying money to listen to you guys. That's not the point. The point is that the Patreon allows us to do cool stuff, and so that's kind of where this comes in. Those who are signed up for the Patreon, one of the perks, early access to all the merchandise that we do, right? They're always going to have first access. So I put those flags up today. Secret link only goes out to the Patreon members. It will still only be out to Patreon members through Friday. So if you're listening to this Thursday and you sign up, you will be able to go in and see that link and buy. We've already had 60 orders. The Patreon has grown to 276 strong. Okay. You guys are absurd. And I'm starting to realize why this is so special. And it's not about you guys paying for extra stuff. It's not about us making money. It's about community. And that's cheesy, but I'm 27 and life's getting cheesier by the day. And the community that we're building over there is absurd. I literally starting to feel like I know some of you guys. I know you guys, a ton of you have messaged us and said it feels like we know you after watching us three play and then listening to us on the microphones for the last 3 years. You guys feel like you know us. And I mean, we have conversations over there on the Patreon. There's so many comments on each post. People are like making friends. It's ridiculous. And then of course you get the added benefit of your donations going to the Children's Hospital, half of it. And you're getting a whole bunch of extra perks like early access. Another time sensitive thing, either today or Friday, the second ever Walk-On Army exclusive t-shirt becomes available. And it's so sick. I'm ordering about 5 of these because I'm going to work out in them every single day of the week. Well, I'm not ordering them. We're making them. So we get as many as we want. They are going to be made available. They'll be available for about 9 or 10 days, and then they're gone forever. They will never be made again. This design is one time only. So just another thing when you sign up. And then third time sensitive thing that has to do with Patreon is if you do sign up right now through Saturday, through the Penn State game, any sign up through that game is going to count for the sleepers for the NICU fund. The GoFundMe that we've been specifically targeting, targeting sounds aggressive, specifically kind of giving our money to. I don't know. I should be better at this. I've done this 255 times. I still can't come up with words. All 100% of donations will go to that fund through the game. And we're pushing, I think we can go to get to 2,000, which is absurd. Okay. Those three bookkeeping things. Also, because we've had so many damn signups, again, I usually read the shout outs. You guys are absurd. Bitsy, Chris, Jesse, Patrick, Kenyon, Chase, Deb, Riley, Steve, Wendy, Randy, Sean. You guys are like 12 of the 70 that have signed up. I'll continue to try and read those off, but thank you guys so much for becoming part of the family. That being said, we consider everybody family around here. Except for, what's his face? McSwirley? What'd you call him? Trice McSwirley? I don't know what you called his ass. We were not able to get McSwirley.
It's Douche McSwirley. I would like to. I don't know why my thing wouldn't unmute when I hit the space bar. I was like hammering the space bar, like yelling at you, and it just wouldn't unmute.
Yeah. Douche McSwirley. He was he didn't respond to the Instagram message or the Twitter DM. So I honestly, the one we were going to try and get him on the podcast, and for Hawkeye Nation and everybody that had to watch what happened to us in 2017, we were going to call him names live. And that was really why we wanted to bring him on. So you have me and Drake, the Drake and Tyler show. Otherwise known as the Oil Spill Podcast. I've got some questions for Drake tonight. Like we said, it's going to be a split episode. So I'm kind of, I think this is how I'm going to go about it. Drake, I'm going to ask you these questions. They're really good questions submitted by one of the fans, one of the listeners, Tim Allen on Twitter. Usually questions are okay. He hit us with some pretty good ones and pretty relevant. First off, Drake, take yourself back to a game of this magnitude, and we didn't play many that were this big. In fact, if you ask around, most people are saying that Iowa hasn't played a game this big since 1v2 in 85. That's how big this game is. It's Penn State week. I have to remind Drake of that because he lives in the dark. He was molded by it, and sometimes he doesn't even know where we're playing or who the opponent is.
And everything about me, except for my skin, is pretty damn dark. My humor. Yeah. My outlook,
your heart,
my soul.
Yeah. So I'm curious what the emotions were that you felt when we, like, during a week, right? Because we've talked about how this is one of those things where you have to manage those emotions, and maybe you didn't feel anything. Maybe you were that cold, dead guy inside. But I know for me that this week when I've been thinking about the game, because I'm going to be in Kinnick. When we played, I would get these, I don't even know what to call it. Honestly, it's like a spidey sense kind of thing, but it's way less cool. I would get these jolts of adrenaline that would shoot through my fingertips when I would like think about the big moments or think about swarming the field or think about when we would have to run out for a punt rep or punt alert or any high stress situation. I would get these jolts of like adrenaline that would almost hurt in my hands. And they're just fleeting. They last for a second and then they go away, right? And it's part of the, for me, it was part of that anxiety, that part of the emotion of the week. Like, you know, you wake up Monday and you know what's in front of you. And you know that you have to put in three good days of practice and that you have to ride around to class on your moped and act like you're not playing in the biggest college football game that's going to be in front of 70,000 people and millions on TV in 6 days. Like, you just have to act like you give a shit about, you know, marketing strategies or like anatomy. And you don't care at all. Like, what were the emotions for you like during big weeks like this? And how did you manage that?
Well, I had to get through Tuesday and Wednesday first, because Tuesday and Wednesday practices sucked. And like, there was 9-on-7 and there was 3rd and 2 and there was probably like 3rd and 2
listeners why that was bad for you.
It's just so much hitting your head on your own teammates. Like, you go through spring ball. Well, I guess my senior year, I didn't have to go through spring ball, but I was legit not doing so hot. So just wasn't a real viable option at fullback that spring.
Human?
I was on the bike.
Okay.
All right. When it came to practicing against our own team as a fullback, I wasn't getting better during the week unless I was going against the ones. Like, there was ones periods where you had to be perfect, but let's just have everything out on the table right now. I did some lazy shit in the scout team periods, because it was my senior year and it was a Wednesday afternoon and I was tired of hitting freshmen and sophomores with Iowa on their chest. I just simply wanted to go hit people wearing a different color that were also trying to hit me in the mouth. So I was just so tired of hitting anybody that was wearing black and gold that I just didn't want to do it anymore. So Tuesdays and Wednesdays were always just like, they were monotonous for me. But then once I got through those days, like Thursday, Friday, those, like, we were playing Penn State, so we got to go to the movie Friday after the team stuff before we went to the hotel. And like, all those things, it's the best movie that you've ever gone to. It's the most fun you've had in a movie. Not because it's the best movie ever. It couldn't matter what was on the screen, but it was because you were already feeling like the most anticipation and you already were – probably half the movie you were thinking about the next night anyways, and like, you were in your dreams, and it was like knowing that you were staring down the gun barrel of an opportunity that people would, it would be like winning a lottery, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? People would actually take lives to swarm with us that night to play Penn State.
In fact, and like, I would take lives. The listeners and fans don't want to know what I would do to be back in Kinnick on this team Saturday night.
I agree. I also would do unspeakable things to play another game. And I'd even play fullback, dude. I wouldn't even care that I'm not in fullback shape anymore. Like, I'm in actual fighting shape. So maybe I'll be the backup and I'll go in there and I'll start a brawl. And since I'm not really a viable option to block anymore, but I can definitely beat the shit out of some of these scrubs, I just go in there and start pulling knees off, pulling arms off. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, douche state boy touchers are down a couple of their best players.
There it is. I wondered if we were going to bring it up. The writers aren't going to bring it up. Okay. You guys listen to Tom Kakert and Dr. Min, and
these guys touch dicks. Like, how could anybody root for these guys? They actually touch little kids' dicks.
Joe Pa knew, right? Like,
Joe Pa's hands were covered in mud. Dirty.
You think he ever went up to old Jerry and was like, hey, man, we're doing really, really good on the field. Like we're 8-1.
Joe Pa was hitting Jerry from the back while Jerry was hitting the kid.
Okay. Wow. It just got violent. But do you think he ever went up to him and was like, hey, Jerry, like, come on, man. Like we're 8-1. Like we gotta be diddling kids in the showers. Like, can we play football?
Yeah, he was like, listen, man, I know that everybody has their fetishes. I'm gay. I'm acting like paternal right now. So Joe Pa's like, yeah, Jerry, I'm gay. I actually secretly want to sleep with you. But we just can't do that right now. We're a good football team and
Joe Pa was the first guy to get canceled during the era of cancel culture.
And he got canceled all the way to the concrete, bruh. Right. He got canceled to the casket.
Yeah. and that's not funny because he was an incredible coach. And I mean,
but he also let his coaches touch kids. Yeah, so is he really that good of a coach?
It seemed like he was a great guy, but maybe he wasn't. But like, I feel like that was maybe the first guy to get, because it wasn't him who directly did it, but he was complicit. So like, I think Joe Pa started cancel culture. I think we figured it out.
That's actually really good investigative journalism by you, Kluber. You just investigated and found out who started cancel culture.
Yeah, it was Joe Pa. Tore down that statue and it started an era. And the Barstool is just posts memes all week. People spray paint their bed sheets and hanging out sorority and fraternity windows. It's fantastic. It really is good banter. Penn State's never going to live that down. There's going to be people 300 years from now who, if football's still around and it's Penn State week, the kids from the opposing school are going to be waving around signs that say Penn State majors and minors. And that's just what it is. Unbelievable. We would get to Thursday, and that was our off day. And that was probably a good day for you, right? Body feel needed it.
I can't tell you. So like Wednesday, the feeling that a player who doesn't want to be at practice gets when Wednesday Coach Ferentz brings it up and you know that you have all the rest of Wednesday to not go to school. You got all of Thursday to not go to school. You got all of Friday for Fast Friday, which means I got a pumpkin spice latte, which put me in the greatest mood because I was a Friday pumpkin spice guy. Wow. And then it was time to play ball, dude. And I can't explain how excited I was.
It's hard to put into words when you wake up on Thursday, you know,
dude, we got to swarm out into I don't remember what the color of the stadium was, but I just like under the lights, Kinnick at night in the dark.
They're striping it this weekend.
I don't remember what it was when we did it.
Yeah. I think it was,
But dude, just like the fact that we actually got to do that. And like my jiu-jitsu coach oftentimes will ask me like, dude, what was it like to play in the Rose Bowl, or what was the Big Ten Championship like? And like, he's a really high level competitor. He's fought in major promotion. Like he's been in much tougher competitive situations than I have, plain and simple. But he is the one asking me like, dude, what was it like? What were those feelings? So like even somebody who's fought in a cage for a living thinks that what we did is unfathomably cool.
You wake up on Thursday and it's finally, and this isn't just for big games, but it's 10x in big games, right? When you're playing Illinois, the focus remains the same, the mission remains the same, but the excitement and sort of the extracurricular that I'm going to try and go into here, it's just different, right? I remember it during the Michigan week. I remember it during the Ohio State week. You hop on, it's little things like you hop on your moped to go to the, you hop on your moped to go to the facility and you see the guys up on the stadium changing the flag, right? Or like they're getting ready for game day. Thursday, Friday, they start to, those vendors on Melrose, they start to put up their tents. You know, there's people around campus who know who you are. It's pretty easy to pick out the football players. They just wear the gray, you know, outfits. And during those, you know, you get looks anyway, But during big games, you almost get these looks of like, hey, let these guys through. They've got something important this weekend, right? The air feels and smells a little crisper. And you walk in the complex and it almost feels like you open that door and you touch it. You touch the door and it almost gives you like this like lightning energy. Like the whole building just has an aura around it. It's this like, and then that's just during the week. And you finally hit Thursday and you're done with the hustle bustle of we got to get this physical work in. And you finally get to sit there and breathe and think, wow, in 48 hours, I'm going to do something that literally people would kill for.
And there's no way to describe how it feels.
There's no
like
way.
It feels it. I promise you that football in Kinnick at night against a top ranked opponent is better than sex plain and simple.
It's not even close. I don't care if it was Megan Fox, dude.
I don't care if it was sex on heroin and ecstasy with boner pills so it never ended. I don't care.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can, dude, it'll stop your damn heart.
See, it literally will. It literally will. You walk out. Oh God, dude. All right. I'm sorry. And maybe this is what the fans want to hear. Maybe it isn't, but I'm going through it anyway. When you're finally done with warm up and it's 20 minutes on the clock and you pull it back, we pulled it back into the locker room and the sun's starting to go down.
Dude, warming up for big games is so fun. You get so tired on purpose because you're having so much fun running around the field like a kid at recess, dude. It truly feels warming up and going through the pass catching line, going through the running back drills, hitting a couple guys, you know, thumping up pads a couple of times, doing whatever. It feels like kids at recess.
And there's kids in the stands looking at you like you're fucking Superman. There's adults in the stands looking at you like, I want to be that guy. We would pull it back, the locker room, everybody's sweaty. The heart rate comes down a little bit, but it's still baseline high because you know what you're about to walk into. KF gives his speech. We're going to play complimentary football. We're going to go out there. We're going to hit him in the mouth. We're going to play our game. Let's go. Team football, let's go. He says, let's go. I got goosebumps. Son of a bitch, I got goosebumps. Okay?
I'm sweaty. I sweat during a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand why you don't wear sleeves, even though you look like an asshole. It probably helps you not sweat as much.
Yeah.
And I'm sweating.
And they open that fucking locker room door. And that's not even the door that you guys see in the stadium bust open, right? There's a hall. The stadium, the doors you see is a hallway. You got to walk back 20 feet before you get to the locker room. And you know that you're about to turn down the hallway. On the inside of that door that we come out of, there's a like a little
thing. Break the rock.
Yeah, break the rock that we would tap. And that for short 5'10 long snappers, you really got to fucking jump up there and get it. And you turn that tunnel and you would go into, I would go into like cinema mode, dude. I'm talking feeling leaves the body. You can hear down the tunnel around the corner, the echo of
feeling definitely leaves the body.
Just the fucking of the
students. Hey, you're $15 deep on this story. I hope you know that.
Oh, I don't care how many dollars deep, dude. I don't care how many dollars deep, because as we walk down that tunnel and now not only are you walking down that tunnel, you're experiencing it in person. If you're like me, you start to think of the video that I saw in 2009 when they made some hype video and part of it was the guys walking down the tunnel, and you start to think, holy shit, this is full circle. This only happens 7 times a year. You get 35 of these if you're lucky and you make it through the end of the program. And nobody gets this chance. And now about that time, you're at the corner. And if you're in front, you've got the camera on you. You're a superstar, dude. You're on top of the world. And if those football pants weren't so damn tight, you'd be rock solid.
Fully tented.
And you turn the corner, it gets a little bit louder. It gets a little bit louder. You come down the tunnel. I could cry right now. I could cry when I did it. The first swarm that I wasn't a part of, in fact, the first three I cried. It's that emotional. And there is no better feeling than when you are with your boys who grind through the winter, the spring, the summer. You've watched guys drop off. There's been walk-ons or scholarship athletes, guys who tried and failed. But the 300, the army, is now with you, suited and booted and ready to go to war. And you eclipse that opening and see the field in view, and there are 70,000 in black and gold, lubricated and screaming for you. There is nothing better.
Dude, this podcast story was fantastic.
I'd give up sex for 5 years if I could be there Saturday night.
This was a fantastic little segment we just put together. You could feel this one.
I'm a little worked up now. I need to do that more because that's about as close as I could get. That's even maybe closer just reliving it than it is watching it happen. Happy birthday, by the way. 10-6 is good.
Thank you, Big Daddy. I appreciate that.
As we record this on Wednesday, Drake turns 27 on the 6th of October. And a lot of the walk-on army, obviously Hawkeye Legacy tweeted it out. You didn't see that. But many of the fans did see that. And many told me to pass along their regards and a happy birthday to you.
Thank you guys very much. And for my birthday speech, I would like to say that I expected to be a lot further at 27, so hopefully 28 is a little better.
Hey, always room for improvement. And then you step out onto that field and you're playing another top team who just experienced the same thing, and they ran out on the field and their blood's pumping. And that's what you're going to get on Saturday afternoon/evening. As two top five teams, I think two legitimately top five, top 10 teams. This year, there's a lot of parity. I don't think, other than the two at the top, I don't think you can really say that there's a second tier. It's a big second tier. It's got maybe 8 or 12 teams in it. And Iowa and Penn State are towards the top of that right now. And there's implications, and there's history, and there's energy, and it's time to go. Iowa sits as a 2-point favorite. I don't know if we're going to get your picks or not. Me and Kevin will do Ward's winners when I do the—
I want Iowa money line, man. I'm not giving up any points because win by one and a last second field goal, or if we're, you know, up by one and they miss a field goal, I don't care how it happens.
I don't either.
I just want to win. And so screw the points. Give me Iowa money line.
It feels like we haven't beat Penn State. Well, we beat Penn State last year. They were dog shit. And honestly, what a turnaround from them year to year. But in a meaningful game, we lost in 17. We lost in 16. I think the year we played them before that was maybe all the way back to 2012. I know we lost that one. We haven't beat them in a meaningful game in a decade.
Feels like Iowa State, dude.
Feels like Iowa State. Feels like we're little brother to the Penn State Nittany Lions right now.
Very, very bad.
And it's been since the Claiborne punt block and the Daniel Murray last second field goal. And it feels like that if there was a team to do it, it's this year. It feels like it's this team. Any thoughts on Saturday's game, how you think it'll play out, what needs to happen, what needs to not happen?
What needs to not happen is big plays in our secondary.
early.
Our secondary has to be great. If big plays happen in the run, that's okay, because I don't think that they will consistently rip off big runs, right?
And that's
I think
not who they are anyway.
Every once in a while, if they were to rip off, you know what I'm saying? If they tried to run the ball 35, 40 times and they ripped off a couple big runs, okay. But we cannot have them throwing it all over the back end of our secondary, because that just – that you can't sustain that. Like, if this is a shootout, I don't think we can win a shootout.
Their leading rusher has 59 carries for 187 yards in 5 games.
Okay.
So they're not, you know, that break that down into 5 games. He's averaging 12 carries a game for 40 yards.
So let's just be real honest. Our linebackers can be mediocre this week. We need to have a really good play up front and really good play in the back end of our defense. And then as an offense, we just have to win the line of scrimmage. Like, that's – You probably have heard it as many times. Well, maybe not as many times as I have, because sitting in those offensive meetings, you heard it a lot. But literally, the answer is win the line of scrimmage. If our offensive line builds on what they did last week, then we have a really, really good chance. And if Spencer stays upright in the pocket when he's back there, and he can build confidence on the fact that he's not worried about a Swiss cheese offensive line, then that's great for us as well. But really, it's just dominating up front in the run game, being better than their run defense. That's really what it is. It's our pass defense being better than their passing game, and our run defense being better than their – or our running game being better than their run defense. Yep. That's really what the game boils down to.
Yep. I think we took the right steps against Maryland. Petras has to have time. He has to have time against this defense, because they are good. And Spencer and our offense, I don't know if you could say that they are good yet, right? We are trying to fight to be above average right now on offense. And Spencer needs time, of which he had last week. Sean Clifford is going to be a big factor in this game. He's probably the most seasoned player on either side of the ball for either team. And he's a good quarterback.
But he's also been benched.
He's gone through adversity for sure.
What I'm saying? Like, that's good. He's gone through adversity. That's a good thing for him. You know, it makes a guy tougher.
Yeah.
But he's also been benched. So that's the quality of quarterback. We're not talking about playing McSorley, who didn't even think about getting benched one time in his college career. He had that program by the balls. This is a kid who has seen the field, then seen the bench again. So, like, that's in him. We have that kind of quarterback is in the game.
Clifford, I'm curious how many rushing yards he has this year, because I do think that containing quarterbacks late in a play, let's see here, stats, show me rushing yards. It's not really showing me that. I don't see our defense struggling against Penn State. I see this as a game that is back and forth. I see this as, like Drake said, a shootout, projected a very low score. I've seen anywhere from – I saw one guy on Twitter who does super analytics into, like, games, projecting, like, each team to score, like Penn State's projected to score 14.5 points, and Iowa's projected to score, like, 14. Like – I think the over-under is probably sitting right around 40 at this point.
So, first and foremost, is super analytics guy the biggest Cheeto finger of all time? Or
he could be.
Pretty close.
He could be double-fisting Cheeto bags. I'm not sure. Let me go back to Vegas and just see where this line's currently sitting as we record this.
It started at like 43, and we'll see where it's bet down to.
Opened at 42.5. It currently sits at 40.5, and Iowa -1.5.
Yikes.
It's going to be a dogfight, dude. It's going to be a dogfight. I want nothing more than this team to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really, really want to win this game as well.
And here's the deal. If we win this game, not only do we have that confidence, even if we just play well in this game, we could lose this game and play well and still feel confident. There's no doubt. And we play a close game, we're still going to be a top 10 team. Losing is not the objective. We win this game, you can get online, start searching for ticks, because Indy has black and gold creeping in
fast. But guess what? You can't have six of the tickets because we already got them.
That's correct. We have committed the ultimate sin and looked way too far ahead, since we are now the noise and we are the washed up walk-ons are prepared to be an Indian.
Yeah, guy. It's just called being prepared. It's just making sure that you're there for your squad, man.
Yep.
It's betting on yourself.
You're right. And I think this is the kind of team that bets on themselves. Dude, I love the swagger of this team. I sit here and I just sigh because I want to be on the inside. I want to know what the thickness of that air inside the complex is like right now. I want to hear
how bad's that indoor stink.
That stench. I want to see guys in the locker room naked.
Pause.
I want to see naked dudes in the shower, how they're interacting with each other, you know?
Yeah. Go grab a couple dudes by the balls and be like, listen, motherfucker, we're going to do this.
I want to slap a couple dicks around. Come on, man. Do it for the state. For the Hawkeyes. My goodness. I'm going to let you go because you're going to go and do freaking birthday festivities, man.
Going to have some birthday fun, man.
And I've got to go pick up.
Listen to this. Their family treats me too good, man. They made me a Hulk-themed birthday party.
Wow.
And Kaylee baked a red velvet cake, but she made it with green icing.
Dude, you got to take
for the pictures. Hulk thing. And her mother made me a peach cobbler.
Oh, my God. So when's the wedding? you got to take pictures so that we can show the walk-on army your Hulk-themed birthday.
Okay.
We'll post that to the Patreon. Final thoughts with Drake. I'll ask, I was going to ask more questions, but, I'll kind of go through some of those same things and see what Kevin feels about those. But it's going to be wild, man. It's going to be a wild and the podcast recap that Drake and I do, well, next week's Patreon extra and the recap with all three of us are probably going to be very emotional regardless of how this game goes.
Correct.
So buckle up for that. You guys are going to, in a second, hear probably some ads, got to keep the lights on around in this joint. And then I'll be back with Kevin Ward and we'll get the Ward's winners, the beef bets of the week, because those are the only ones that matter at this point. We'll be back in a second. And you either just heard some lovely advertisements or maybe we just cut and pasted and we're back in. But now we're joined by the man himself, Kevin Ward. How you doing?
Doing good, boys. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. The listeners just got done with a half hour or so of Drake, and it was actually sort of electric. We kind of replayed. Well, I'll get into it because it was prompted with a question that I'm also going to ask you. How are you feeling right now as 26-year-old Kevin, who is four years out of football, but now there's this massive game for the Iowa Hawkeyes? Like, how has this the last 3 days been?
Are you referring to like compared to like when we used to play type feeling or what?
That's the place I'm going. Is the question I have for you is there's for some games. There is just this extra element of, wow, I'm really having to manage the emotion of I can't wait for Saturday. I am very excited to play in this football game. And that's one of those this week.
Oh, sure. So I would say like back when we played, you could kind of feel the energy around campus. You go to class and, you know, people are talking about it. And, you know, as you're just excited to play. Now, as a fan and alumni, I'm excited as hell to go, but you don't have that same, you know, feeling inside. I don't know how to describe it really, but
what was that feeling like when we?
I don't know. Like for back when we played, it felt like, you know, at any point throughout the week, like I could suit up and be ready to play in an hour. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like you're like you were. There was enough juice that you could get up that quick.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I described it in the segment that the listeners just heard as like, it was as little as you would get on your moped and just driving around campus. It just felt like the air was just a little bit crisper, you know?
Yeah. A little crisper, a little tingle in the balls, you know?
That's funny. That's so funny. How did you manage, were you able to manage those emotions as we got closer, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, off day, a lot of time to just think about it, get the body right? Like, was that difficult or easy for you?
You know, I wouldn't say like I was really anxious about the games up until, you know, like right before the games.
Okay.
Just more so excited throughout the week. And then really like Friday night, Saturday morning is when I start to get the, okay, let's come on, let's get this over with. I need to play this football game right now.
Walking around that hotel room, the Kirkwood, is just like, ooh, it was like a pulse that you could feel.
Yeah, the night games were the worst. And we've talked about this before, but you have literally all day Saturday and you're just sitting around, you know, watching some football. You have some meetings and you're just like, I feel like I've played this thing three times in my head already this week. But yeah, it's definitely an obstacle that you have to kind of manage. I would say older players typically are better at doing it than younger players.
For sure.
Especially older players that have played and been in that spot before. But to manage the energy and the hype around the game before the game, it's an actual factor.
It's tough. I mean, I'm not really sure how to describe doing it, but it's like deep breathing, sort of just almost a meditative breath, stretching, rolling out, laying down. I mean, I can remember putting on our travel polos, and I say I can remember like it was 40 years ago. It was literally in 2017. Like I would put on our polos and I would, my armpits would just sweat, dude. Like I was on fire. My body temp was, you know, core temp was high. I didn't never take heart rate measurements, but I'm sure I was up 10 or 20 beats the entire Friday, Saturday. Do you have words to describe what it felt like to, what it felt like to be at the hotel on what we would call the business trip? Like that feeling of we arrive at the hotel, say it's the Kirkwood, or say we just got off the plane and now we're getting to the away hotel, and what those hours are like walking around the hallways, go into the dinner, go into the, in what way would you describe the energy and the feeling of that? Cause I,
you know, I'd say it's kind of like almost a relief, like the end of the week's here. It's like, once you get on the bus to go up to the hotel, it's like, all right, now school, practice, all that stuff's behind me. It's like, now the only thing I got to worry about in the entire world is this game tomorrow. That's it. So a little bit of relief there. I don't know, dude. Like I said, the older I got, you know, the more it just became like routine. You know, into your routine. Yeah. You go to your hotel room, you chill out with whoever your roommate is. You know, you go back down to meetings. You go back up to your hotel room. Or no, I guess you go to dinner first. Go back up to your hotel room.
It was quiet. It was always quiet.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. focused. I know Phil wouldn't like it if dinner was too loud or if breakfast was too loud. Breakfast, like, sounded like a funeral home. That thing, is, all you hear is knives and forks to plates, and that is it.
And it's not, there is no, hey, I'm going back up to the room. It's when you're done, you get up, you push your chair in, you just walk out of the room. Like, it was...
Yeah, no, you're just, so we usually sat in position groups and, you know, you're sitting there and kind of looking your guys in the eye. It's like, all right, time to go award again today. But yeah, very focused, very.
There was no wasted energy or banter.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's not like your 12-year-old baseball trip where you're right. going a couple hours down the road and staying in a hotel
going
and
to the pool.
You and the other kids are. Getting in the pool when the pool's closed, getting yelled at by the night manager.
Can you imagine?
And all your parents have to go running around trying to get you to go to sleep. No, none of that stuff.
Can you imagine if at the Kirkwood, after dinner, I would have stood up and just like real loud been like, Kevin, I'm going to the pool. Get in the hot tub quick.
Well, yeah, I guess we're like the 21-year-old version of that would just be going to the hotel bar.
Yeah, hey, but, I'm going to go do a shooter. Let's do shots. Oh, my God.
No, yeah, there's none of that. It's a business trip. Like you said, that's how we always phrase it as. We're going there. We have a job to do. And we got to be ready to do that job.
Yep. I want to take a moment because what I was coming home from, Kev, was a meeting with one of the true, the proud, the walk-on army. His name's Sean Purdy. His name I will find in a second. He makes custom football helmets. Okay. Made a custom washed up walk-on's helmet.
No.
And this. Oh,
the flag is.
Hold on.
Yeah. You got to take off the filter.
Yeah, because it's blending in. I'm going to have to take off the, for those that are listening, please go to the YouTube version to see this.
No way. Oh, that is sick. Is that visor see-through?
I don't believe so. No, it's not.
Still sick.
Still so sick.
Walk-ons right there. Oh, my God. That's freaking awesome. Of course he put your number on it. Washed up. I love it.
Like, dude,
I love
how
it.
How sick is that helmet?
Can we get, like, two more?
He said he's in the process of making one for you guys as well.
No, he's not. We got to have this legend on the pod.
He's one of the walk-on army. I just met him. And he, what's his name on Instagram? Hold on. He does them for, I mean, I don't know if he wants more business or not. He said that's not definitely not the reason he did it. His Instagram name is pigskin_lids, pigskin_lids, Sean Purdy on Instagram.
Well, hell yeah, shout out that legend.
He does some pretty cool stuff. Unbelievable what the Walk-On Army does. We went over a bunch of patrons and all that stuff with the flags. I've got the golden goods down in the basement right now. The next shipment of flags, Kevin. One of them coming your way this weekend. Because I suppose I'll give one to you, you know?
Is it going
to
make it there? Are we going to be able to fly it at the tailgate?
We will be able to fly it at the tailgate. I'm not getting there at 6 a.m. In fact, your brother texted me yesterday.
He's over in your neck of the woods.
Yep, he was trying to get a beer. I was unfortunately caught up.
Unfortunately raised to not love beer or something like that.
No, well, Todd Kluver loves a beer, you know. but yeah, we'll be able to throw that thing up at the tailgate. I'm going to try and make some tailgates this weekend. So a ton of you have given me the address of your tailgates. And again, I'm not, unless it's the Ward family tailgate, I'm not the biggest tailgate guy. I kind of like to, you know, I'm not a drinker. If there was a tailgate with like an assortment of donuts and there was just like donuts on donuts and there's just a there's just a refresh of donuts every 30 minutes, that'd be great.
Tell you what, you show up at 6 a.m., we'll have donuts. I can't promise that at 7:30 a.m., though.
Right. Well, I don't know when we're going to get there. And thank you guys so much for almost 1,200 followers on Instagram. We just passed 1,400 subscribers on YouTube, and we're closing in on 10K on Twitter. So the army is strong, and you guys are absolutely ridiculous. It is Drake's birthday. I made sure to say hi, happy birthday to him in his half of this, Kevin. Did you think he'd make it to 27?
It is Drake's birthday, yeah.
You think he'd make it to 27?
No, I think we put the over-under at 30. Is that right?
Okay, so 37, definitely not happening.
I'm saying 37 at plus 1,200 odds.
Oh, man. All right, let's get into a couple questions before Kevin and I break down a little bit of the actual X's and O's of this game. Not that we're Phil Parker by any means. Kev, what did you think of the old Urban Meyer grinding sesh over the weekend with the co-ed?
It's not a good look, boys.
A great look.
Not a good look. Your team is 0-4. You and they're not really playing well either. And you spend the weekend. I know they played on Thursday night in Cincinnati. I'm guessing that's kind of close to Columbus. So he wanted to go check out his college town and apparently get wasted and hang out with some co-eds instead of maybe coach for your next week. I don't know what the line is on the Jaguars this week, but hammer the other team.
Hammer the other team. Yeah.
Of
course, the NFL's it's weird. Oof. And sometimes they come in like crushed when there's all the distractions. NFL's weird like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, oh my God, that's just it was cringy to see.
It was
getting a little handsy there.
That young woman, I don't even know if it was a young woman, but that woman was...
She wasn't his age, I know that.
Was not Urban Meyer's age, and she was... There was some hip gyration going on. I mean, that was like Marshalltown prom circa 2012 right there. There's some shit going down.
I mean, he's got to be smarter than that, right?
He doesn't have... He couldn't call the timeout on Polecat. Couldn't fade a video camera at the bar when he's getting grinded on.
Well, this is what I was going to say is, like, you got to be telling your players, hey, you are someone on this campus. When you are downtown, assume that someone has a phone on you.
Right.
You're Urban freaking Meyer. Yeah. You're like the most recognizable guy in Columbus. You ain't even coached there in 3 years.
Maybe he just doesn't give a shit anymore.
Maybe he doesn't, but that is a new level of not giving a shit.
I think he's a college coach, and I don't think, especially with that, I don't know if he'll ever get the true respect of an
NFL. So this is my take on Urban Meyer's coaching ability. I think he was a phenomenal recruiter and got great talent.
Yeah.
I didn't think that the teams he coached were overly well coached compared to
because of him, at least.
No, not necessarily because of him, because they never had to be. Like, their defense, they play cover one all day. They play like the most basic defense ever, and they just rely on being better than you, which
They just straight ask you to beat them one-on-one.
Right, which they were 98% of the time. It allows them to play an extra guy in the box, stops the run easy. He's like, go ahead and beat my five-star cornerbacks and safeties.
You're not going to, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but Oregon found a way to to beat them because they were using those guys to crack, and their young corners weren't replacing. Oregon broke some big runs. So, I mean, just goes to show they're not, I don't think they're excessively well-coached team.
Yeah.
I think they're great at the fundamentals. I don't think that their scheme is all that complicated. They just focus on being better. So I don't think they're great of a coach. Therefore, he's not going to be a good coach in the NFL. I don't know. Could be wrong, but that's my thoughts on it.
No, I don't think he lasts long in Jacksonville. And then I think he comes back to TV.
I mean, just absolute cringe.
I mean, guy loves being on camera, you know?
Like, I'd rather, like, my head coach being implemented in, like, an embezzlement scandal than the cringe.
Tax fraud, that, you know?
Like, exactly, like tax fraud. Like, all right, you know, he's trying to keep some money from the government. I guess we can all relate to that.
Like, if KF was brought up on charges of, like, oh, the, you know, they were trying to embezzle money so they could donate more to the hospital. You know, it's like, okay, I understand.
But yeah, no. Seeing Urban's, your head coach Urban's in one of your college bars.
Yeah, he's downtown getting Paula's, you know?
And like the chicks that you hang out with are going to hang out with him. It's like, no, that's all time cringe. And oh man.
This is going to be the biggest recruiting weekend that Iowa has ever had. The last I saw, and I don't follow it tooth and nail, but I see some of the tweets. Supposedly there's going to be over 80 recruits, and we will have never had something like this. Don't quote me. We'll never have had more 4- and 5-star recruits in the building to watch a game than we will Saturday.
Well, that's pretty neat.
What is a game like this? What could it actually potentially do? What is the real potential of the Hawks, like, coming out looking good, you know, the recruits having a great time on a game day weekend? Like, can that sway? Can that be the swaying factor for someone?
You know, barring getting blown out, I think that the recruits are going to have a phenomenal time anyway. If it's a close game and they lose, you know, recruits understand that, you know, you lose football games every now and then. But if the fans are crazy, if the energy is amped up, you know, that's something that can kind of sway recruits. Like, oh man, going to play here is crazy. It's fun. Crowd's into it. It's loud. It's noisy. And there's just a ton of energy. Who wouldn't want to play there? And, you know, if you have a good time downtown after that, that doesn't hurt either. But, you know, if it's a close game, and, or even if Iowa blows them out, but if like the energy is there, that's something that sticks in a recruit's mind. I know it did my first game that I went to Iowa.
Yeah. Kinnick's one of those special places. I don't know if any of you listening to this saw the Joel Klatt on Colin Cowherd's show. Came out sometime Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday around midday. And they were both just ogling over Kinnick and the environment and talking up the Hawks a little bit too. Hawks are favored in this one. Hawks are favored. Give it the old Kinnick 1.5. We're going to get into it here in a second. What's Kevin's keys to the game here? What are we looking at versus a talented Penn State offense and defense?
Got to control the line of scrimmage. I want to make Sean Clifford beat us with his arm. I don't want them to be able to establish the run.
Drake said the exact same thing.
What's that?
Drake said the exact same thing. And I will tell you this. Their leading rusher, Noah Cain, only has 59 carries for 200 yards on the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. But I think we have to put Sean Clifford in uncomfortable situations, yep, and I think he'll be able to make mistakes then. If we can capitalize on those, we have to win the turnover battle. This is not a game where we lose the turnover battle and win the game. I don't think it's possible.
Correct.
And then
and it's a good thing we win the turnover battle pretty frequently.
Yeah, now we've been doing a great job of that this year. I'd love to keep it up.
I wonder what Penn State is this year on turnover.
I think this is going to be a really close game, and you could, after this game, kind of point to a handful of plays that changed the whole dynamic of it. Yeah. But I think it's going to be a really tough, physical, hard-fought game. I would love to see the Hawkeyes, you know, like I said, stop your run, make Clifford beat us. I know they got the really good receiver. What's his name? Dotson.
Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. He could be a factor, but I want to make Clifford uncomfortable.
He's the most probably veteran guy on offense or defense, maybe on both teams, other than our DBs. That's the battle right there, maybe, huh? Veteran DBs versus a veteran quarterback and a guy who has a couple weapons to throw to. Man, it's going to be exciting. This is a game where you got to think Riley Moss, Kerner, Merriweather, Belton, Hankins. These boys licking their chops right now saying, hey, people are saying we're one of the best 2-3 top 5 defense in the country. Time to get tested a little bit. Think they're licking the chops?
I mean, if you're listening to the noise,
Hey, we're the noise, dude.
We are the noise. Yeah. So any current Iowa football players listening to this, you should turn it off right now and go study some fucking film. Just one for the kids right there.
The fuck are you doing?
There's certain podcast members with a financial interest in your performance. Go study some film.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in that. The media is sucking your ass. You have to try to block it out, but you do relish the opportunity to go up against a good opponent. You know, it's like any competitor out there loves to compete at the highest level. And this is as far as the regular season goes, this is going to be the highest level that we're going to have to compete at.
This is that.
Yeah.
Penn State's plus 6 on turnovers. I think we're something like plus 9, maybe more than that. So,
I don't know. We're plus 6 in the last game alone. So
it's true. I think we're probably more than that. This is number 1 in the Big Ten East versus number 1 in the Big Ten West. Like you said, Ohio State, who knows what they've really got. They're definitely going to compete. I think it's going to come down to Penn State.
They have the talent. Ohio State does. They always do. They have a couple of young guys, and I think they're getting better throughout the season. So don't count them out by any means because they lost to a good Oregon team. I don't think Michigan will end up being there at the end of the season. It'll probably be between Ohio State and Penn State, in my opinion. But you never know. I think Penn State really does need this win, though, because otherwise that Ohio State game's a must win, which it pretty much already is. I don't know.
It kind of is already. Yeah.
Right.
They're in a much worse – as the leader or co-leader in the East right now, they are in a much more dire position as far as, like, odds at this time of the season to make the Big Ten Championship than Iowa currently sits.
Well, I mean, that just, you know –
the West,
the East is deeper than the West this year.
I thought at the beginning of the year we'd have parity, we'd have sort of an even conference, but through the first 5 weeks, it may be the most lopsided East West there's been in, I don't know, a whole decade. I'm not sure. It's pretty bad this year.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see as more of the league plays goes, it would seem this year that the East is more talented and better this year.
There's a couple questions. Part of that prompt of how it feels during a big game week like this. It was a 6-part kind of inquiry from one of our listeners. One of his questions was, is there a chance that we are seeing before us the next steps from 7-8 win old Iowa? He puts in parentheses, not complaining. And a future where we take the place of 9 or 10 win Iowa, or take the place of Wisconsin and be 9 and 10 win Iowa at the top of the West, and we become what Wisconsin has become in the West for the last, you know, maybe decade or so. Are we seeing that? And if we are, this would be a game you need to win to sort of continue to cement that. But you look at the last couple seasons, 6-2.
I mean, you could argue that we're already there. You know, 19, they won 10 games. Last year, they went 6-2.
Haven't won the division, though.
Haven't won the division. That's true.
But I think yes is the answer to this question. Like,
Definitely looking at the rest of the West, Iowa is set up to succeed in the next 2 to 3 years, I would say more so than any other program.
I would agree. How long do you think Kirk stays around?
I think his current contract goes through, what, 26?
Yeah.
We'll see if he signs another one after that, but I wouldn't be surprised if he rides his contract out. And
I would say doubtful on any more years past 26.
Hey, if the head man's just so happens to be listening to this, you're welcome to stay as long as you want, my man.
Hey, and you could tell us to go fuck ourselves, okay?
All right.
If you want to coach till you're fucking 90, all right, you could do that shit. Because I know.
No, I don't see that for KF, but you know, if you're a high school kid out there and you're graduating within the next couple of years, and a recruit, I should say, and you have the chance to come to Iowa, I would just relish in the fact that you have about 4 or 5 years left to play for a first ballot Hall of Fame college football coach. Yeah. And that's an opportunity that
on a team, on teams that he's going to coach that, you know, this year is got the potential to challenge for hit one of his best teams ever. And I think that the next couple years, you might see similar quality teams, maybe not top five, but I think you're.
I would love to see KF go out with a string of five, like 10 win plus seasons in a row.
Like if they just roll into that and then he just calls it and he's got like three or four out of the last 6 years that he coaches, he goes to the Big Ten championship, maybe wins one or two. Sheesh.
Yeah. I would love nothing more for the head man. But I don't, there's really not many places out there that can say like, hey, our guy's been here for 25 years.
There's nobody.
He ain't going by before you leave. And guess what? He's also a first ballot Hall of Fame coach that develops NFL talent.
A lot to recruit.
That fucking cares about his players.
More than cares about his players and the game. He cares about the game so much. He's so emotional over just everything that goes into this whole situation. We've been talking long enough. I think it's time.
DJ
Kevin.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind.
So, it's still Ward's winners, but it's not Kevin Ward. It's Beef Ward.
Yes. So, I might just tail my dad's picks this week.
Right. Beef Ward, the beef bet of the week or bets of the week will be out sometime midday on Thursday. So maybe hours after you're listening to this, be on the lookout for that on Instagram and Twitter. He is 3-0 in the last 2 weeks. I think he's like 4-0 in the last 3 weeks. He basically hasn't lost yet. And he's looking like the only smart guy on this podcast because currently the boys sit at 7-7-1. That would be me. So I'm dead 50%. Kevin and Drake are both 6-9. 6-9, which nice, but not nice. So who do we got this week, Kev?
You know, got a high school buddy. He's a little bit of a gambler.
Oh, really?
But,
you got a couple of those.
Yeah. We know a couple of those, but his when in doubt, his favorite line is bet the favorite. Okay. So anytime we do like an NCAA bowl tourney pool,
yep,
or a March Madness pool, the name of the group is always bet the favorite.
Love that.
So I'm gonna listen to my friend's advice here, and I'm gonna bet the favorite, and not just gonna bet the favorite. I'm gonna bet the favorites for the number 1, 2, and 3 teams in the country.
Holy,
so I got Georgia minus 15. I got Bama minus 17.5, and I got the Hawks minus 1.5. Let's go. Oh, bet the favorite, baby.
Goodness. I love it. Kevin's just throwing caution to the wind. Bet the favorite mentality. Wow.
I do love those first two picks. Georgia is really, really good.
Really good.
Auburn's been having some quarterback controversy the last couple weeks. Scraped out a win versus LSU, but I don't see anyone slowing down the steamroller that is the Georgia Bulldogs until SEC championship time. Bama's got A&M, who has looked less than stellar the last 2 weeks with losses to Arkansas and who they lose to last week, Mississippi State. So, you know, Bama had a little bit of a scare from Florida. Florida's a good team, but I think they're going to run it up against the old Aggies of Texas A&M. So I like them. And the Hawks, I think, just have a little something going this year. You know, it's a little bit of a, you can kind of speak to it like the 2015 team. Once you get the ball rolling week after week, W. And KF said, we're healthy. We're practicing good.
Which, by the way, fuck you for that tweet. I put out a tweet. One of our beat writers, I think it was Ike Holt, tweeted out, KF says the whole team's healthy. Everybody's got a chance to play. I quote tweet that, being me, because Kevin and Drake have this like vendetta against how much I use Twitter, because they're not the same kind of guy. And so I'm Twitter guy. I'm tech guy, Twitter guy, I'm mouth guy. And so I quote tweet Ike Holt and I say, maybe one of the most underrated part of football, having a healthy team or having a team with no injuries. You don't even have to.
It was staying healthy. Staying healthy was your thing.
Okay, staying healthy. And Kevin responds with, says the long snapper. Still applies. Okay. Then let's.
It does still apply. It does still apply. No one's worried about the long snapper getting hurt. And I know that wasn't your thing, but I just love poking fun at you.
Yeah. There's the cha-ching for the FU to Kevin. We are healthy. I do really believe that that's very underrated. Like, if you look at Minnesota, they're probably a little bit of a different team with their all-star running back. Purdue is struggling to have they have a running back down, a quarterback that's – Graham Mertz just got hurt, and he wasn't really good for Wisconsin this year before that, but now they're trying to decide, do we play a banged-up Mertz or the Wolf kid? It's tough when you get people hurt. I mean, CJ was honestly a little gimpy our entire –
2016 season.
Yeah, our entire 16 season. And I think we're maybe a little better if he's a little more healthy.
I mean, oh, for sure. Obviously. But yeah, it's great being healthy.
Knock on wood, guys, because shit.
Yeah, I just think that this is one where home field advantage is going to play big. The energy is going to be awesome. I expect these guys to be ready to play their best game of football because they're going to need to. Yep. So, give me the Hawks. I'll give the Penn State Kitty Cats some point and a half to play with.
Kev, I'm excited for this game, man. I'm excited for this game too. We'll come back to that in a second. I'm going to give you my picks quick. I think this is probably a trap line. Rutgers is going to end up losing by a field goal, but I'm seeing Michigan State -5.5 some places. And I like Michigan State to cover 5.5. I don't know. Maybe I'm dumb. It's Butgers, dude. Like Drake says, it's Butgers. They shouldn't even be in the Big Ten. I'm going to stay in the Big Ten. I like betting the Big Ten, and I'm 50-50 this year, so I'm not doing too bad. Where did it just go? I lost it. It's Illinois and Wisconsin. How do I lose it, dude? Illinois, Wisconsin, right here. Over under sitting at 42.5. I'm going under.
Under, huh?
Under 42.5, Wisconsin, Illinois. Wisconsin can't score, man.
Yeah, I could see that one for sure.
And Illinois is just Illinois. Brett Bielema.
They've looked very, very average this year. So I can see that.
So, you know, so now this game will inevitably, it will be 35-32. But I'm going under. And then my final bet of the week is UCLA covered on Stanford for me. And I appreciated that. They're playing Arizona, who's not good. They're holding walk-on tryouts, as we mentioned last episode or two episodes ago, mid-season. UCLA is a 16-point favorite. I'm taking UCLA again. Take the Bruins. Now, none of those games matter because the Iowa motherfucking Hawkeyes are in Kinnick at 3 p.m. on a Saturday versus the Nittany Lions, who have had our number. Granted, we beat them last year in a year that they probably will just strike from the record books over at Happy Valley. But other than that, in big-time meaningful games, 17, 16, I think before that we played them in 12.
Yeah. It's granted, 16 and 17, those are some really good Penn State teams.
Yeah. But they beat us.
Oh, yeah, they beat us.
And I kind of like you, Kev. I do understand the 2015 one after another after another. You just kind of get – you start to walk into the facility and you think, hey, I'm going to tighten down even more this week. You know what? I'm going to clean up the diet just a little more. I'm going to put a little more effort into walkthrough. I'm going to put a little more effort into film study. Everybody starts to start – you. They start to start – oh, my God. I just went fucking full-on brain aneurysm. They start to live that slight edge. And that slight edge starts to widen as the season goes on. And you're hoping that those opponents you're playing are on that other path. They're all doing the wrong little things. And if there was a team to do it, Kev, it's 2021.
Got a talented group of people. Talented group of dudes, man. A little bit of want to. They got some dudes now.
They got some dudes. They got more dudes than we had dudes.
And they do have more dudes than we had, that's for sure.
I think last week was a nice little confidence booster. Mm-hmm. An extra day of rest.
That's true. You got to put that into factor. An extra day of rest to recover, more film study.
Not a ton to lose here. I know that's not the mindset, but it's not like this game is life or death. Like, the Hawks can still do everything they want to do, even if they lost this game. Again, you don't think about that, but it's maybe this subconscious weight. I know the Hawks are favored. I know people are all over the place are picking them to win. Which probably means you should pick the underdog. Hard to say that this number four Penn State team is an underdog in a game.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've seen this line go crazy from pick to Iowa minus 2.5 down to 1.5. So I think money's coming in on all sides. I think it's probably going to be one of the most bet games of the week. Mm-hmm. I like the Hawks, man. How can you not like the Hawks? How can you not like the Hawks this week?
Well, what I like is a happy Kevin. I've spent enough time with Kevin Ward, oftentimes when neither of us were wearing clothing. I just wanted to throw that in there.
It was not necessary to say that.
I feel like it was necessary.
It wasn't. It really wasn't.
That to know when you're it sounds real real suspect. I know when you're happy, Kev. I know when you're happy.
Now it just sounds like I'm walking around our old college house with laying dong, and you know,
well,
you can tell when I'm happy.
Like, I know that you're in a good mood right now,
and of course, I'm in a good mood.
And
man,
I know it's because the Hawks are 5-0.
It definitely helps.
And you're going to be in Kinnick on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Partially lubricated.
More than part. Yeah, I mean, I guess any part is partially. Yeah, sure.
Fractionally lubricated. It might be a heavy fraction.
Might be a majority fraction. Who knows?
And that's where Kevin wants to be. And
I want more in my life right now than for it to be Saturday.
I told Drake this. We said it in his part. I would do illegal things. Legitimately, I would do illegal things if you could offer me the opportunity to somehow make that tunnel walk on Saturday.
Just a tunnel walk?
No, well, I mean, and be a part of, you know, be if I could be a Hawkeye football player, and I know everybody listening to this out there is like, well, no shit. But I'm a guy who's done it 35 times in Kinnick, 53 straight starts. You know, some would say that I had my filling. Nope, sure didn't.
Just want more, boys.
I'm hungry.
Just want more.
I'm hungry, and I would do.
I would go back to like the true freshman, you don't even get off on the bus. You have to walk there.
Yep, from Hillcrest.
From Hillcrest, and you know, you just sit on the bench and you're told to stay out of other people's ways and stuff. I would pay to do that.
Yep, correct. Correct. Wow. I don't know if there's much more to say. I'm glad that you were able to hop on and do this and we were able to get this out of the way because I've got some things to do. But I think I speak for Kevin and myself and Drake. Drake won't be there, but we're excited as hell to be in Iowa City in Kinnick on Saturday. We are just as much as you, maybe more, wanting a win for the Hawks. I think it's all pretty equal in Hawkeye Nation right now. And I think some of the fun of it is just being able to be and feel this way during the week. Like you're in
a game. Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, you're in, dude, a game that, like, matters.
Like living through the excitement week to week is definitely part of the fun.
Yeah.
Like when your team's like average, like in 2017 when we lost a couple games in a row or something like that, it's like, I mean, obviously you're still excited to play, but you can tell the energy's not there on the campus. It's, you know, the fans are still great on game day, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. It's a little different.
It's not the same when you're competing for the Big Ten.
Which we did mention in the first part.
Yeah, you know, and if I was a Hawkeye fan with the means and the opportunity to go to Indianapolis, I've already bought my ticket, as we did. And if
they win this game, you better go get some.
Yeah, you win this game, you know, you haven't bought them yet, I guess you just don't want to go.
You're just shit out of luck because them things gonna fly. But again, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. I told Drake and at the end of his part that next week's podcast is going to be emotional, regardless of how we come out of this weekend. And so you guys all have that to look forward to. If we win, come listen to us talk shit about potentially being the best team in the country, because I know that that's going to come out of somebody's mouth. And if we lose, come along for the ride and, you know, relive the pain here so that we can all do it together. That's what this walk on army, this walk on lifestyle is all about. This was 255, which is absurd. And we thank you for joining us. We'll see you in Kinnick on Saturday. Peace.